Welcome. I'm Halcyon, and this is Hug Nation, the Hug Nation broadcast, not to be confused with the Hug Nation community, which is now meeting twice a day for virtual hugs, connection, gratitude, play at zoom.hugnation.com every day, noon and six. In fact, the noon gathering is still happening. So they are continuing to socialize while I have to go to work. Today I want to talk about, with Burning Man canceled, how do the 10 principles apply? Yes, Burning Man is canceled, but it's not canceled. The construction of Black Rock City has been canceled for 2020. But Burning Man, the movement, the 10 principles, the community, cannot be canceled. And that understanding has been so beautiful to see expressed throughout the community this week. And I think it's important to recognize that we are a community that thrives. By the very nature of what makes us strong is we go to places that are inhospitable, uninhabitable, and we turn them into paradises. So this ability to take adversity and transform it is what we do. People say, man, this is the first time that Burning Man's been canceled. Well, actually, it was canceled in, was it 1991? On Baker Beach. And it was the shutting down of the event at the beach there in San Francisco that forced it to move and find a new location in the Black Rock Desert. And even, you know, there was in, what year was it? 2007, the man was burned midweek. And we persevered. We were resilient. Even if there wasn't a man, we would have figured it out. But they actually rebuilt, made a second man in 2007. And one of the incredible things about this distributed community, the fact that it is not something that is constructed and then delivered. It is not produced by, you know, the Burning Man organization and then given to us. It is not something that can be shut down. It is a momentum. And in fact, simply removing the location that is it expressed simply will transform it into expressing itself in different ways. A friend in my camp, Joshua, he shared when we had a camp meeting this weekend, he shared the historical memory or the historical experience of the persecution of Tibet and how, while a horrific chapter and continues to be, that it was the hardship and the pressure on it that pushed Tibetan Buddhism into the world. And that perhaps there is this pressure on our community now that will push our philosophies into the world. I certainly feel that that is the potential and that is what we should be excited about. I've been so impressed with the community and how it has been optimistic. So much of what I see in the news all around is pessimistic, rightfully so. There's lots to be scared about. There's lots to be uncertain about. But I've been so encouraged by how much optimism and glass half full and beautiful glass and cone that I have been hearing from people in the Burning Man community, because that is what we've been training for forever. The process of surrender, the process of recognizing that when a windstorm comes, it doesn't mean you wait it out. It means you figure out what's fun and exciting to do in a windstorm. Oh my gosh, we dropped the chocolate. Well, what can we do with what we have left? It is an evolutionary city by its nature. Every year it gets rebuilt from scratch. So there is no legacy. There is no, you know, the momentum of it is independent of the city itself. So now there is lots of people planning lots of people planning digital expressions of Black Rock City in different ways. And I think that's exciting. And I think it is absolutely what we should be doing. In fact, I've been doing these twice a day gatherings that are like a theme camp gathering. That is a gathering of the theme of the Hug Nation gathering is gratitude and connection and hugs. And there have been a number of pink heart gatherings. We had a dance party this weekend. And lots of theme camps are having dance parties and talks and all sorts of things. And that's so exactly the kind of things that should happen. And the Burning Man the Burning Man organization itself is talking about the virtual burn that they're still figuring out how it's going to be expressed. As well as I've seen several people in several cities and regionals talking about the digital version that they're going to create. And this is awesome. This is exactly what we should do. This is how we should transmute our circumstances. But before I get enthusiastic to the point of you not taking me seriously, which I know that occasionally people fault me for the intensity of my rose-colored glasses, perhaps blind me, I want to recognize that a digital gathering is not the same. And there's lots of people that are really feeling the absence and feeling really burnt out by Zoom gatherings and feeling that the loneliness is real. And I want to recognize it absolutely. You know, having phone sex with someone is not the same thing as having sex with them. But phone sex is an intimate experience and it does make you feel connected. And we can find ways with the limitations we have to connect and feel the love and feel the whimsy and the joy and all the things. It does require a suspension of disbelief, like when you go to the movies. And one thing I've been practicing for a very long time is the art of this suspension of disbelief, the art of leaning into our imagination. For example, you have the ability right now to connect with anyone you've ever known. You can close your eyes and you can imagine a loved one. And you can probably hear them laugh. You might be able to smell them. And you can start to feel aspects of their presence. And that's the same kind of skills and abilities that we're going to have to lean into so that we can feel these connections, because they're still real. They're just not physical. And if we can allow ourselves the suspension, allow ourselves to truly experience the reality of imagination, then we can have this intimacy and we can not let our hearts and spirits and creativity wither amongst the lack of opportunities to physically connect. So I thought it would be fun to just kind of go through the 10 principles and look at how they are being manifest in the world and how we can lean into them and how we can work to express them in a world that is not Burning Man, that is not a regional, that is not Black Rock City. So let's see. I think maybe the most significant one is immediacy. Nothing is more important right now in surviving, thriving, and staying emotionally healthy more than the ability to be be in the flow and surrender and roll with the punches and not be too attached to your plan and not be too attached to the way things should be. That is, to me, the fundamental lesson of Burning Man, or the most profound, the ability to surrender, to recognize that it is nature, it is fate, it is something way beyond our efforts that is in control. We have to roll with it, go with it, make the best of things, and have the ability to see the gifts in the things that we didn't really want or we didn't think we wanted. This last weekend, my family, my extended family, my uncles, my aunts, my nieces and nephews and their kids, we all got together in a Zoom call and caught up for an hour. We haven't done that ever before. What a gift! I got to see my cousin's little baby. What a incredible! How long would it have been if I did not have this adversity? So we have to flow. We have to practice immediacy. We have to trust. And more than any sort of preparedness, I think the ability to have immediacy is going to be the most significant for our success right now. Gifting. It is so beautiful to witness gifting in the world right now. More and more people that have no connection to the 10 principles are hungering for the ability to be of service, hungering for the opportunity to make the world better, to elevate a single person's experience, or, you know, healthcare workers' experiences, people making masks like crazy. Just talked to someone in the 12 o'clock Hug Nation gathering who is 3D printing face shields, and people stretching and going into their personal inventory of their stuff and their talents, and saying, what can I do to make things a little bit better, to raise the global vibration right now? It's kind of like, you know, the same phenomenon of capitalism, where capitalism finds a way, like, what are the needs, and then it finds a way to fill them, but without the incentive of money, the incentive of service and love and connection. And that's been beautiful, and I think will continue to be beautiful. And I think people will have lasting effects on their self-identity as they discover what gifting does to their sense of self and how it makes them feel in the world. Communal effort. Well, communal effort and civic responsibility are kind of really in the forefront of how we are being asked and needing to step up to communally work together to, you know, flatten the curve. And, you know, you just have to go to the grocery store and see communal effort. You know, you see that everyone is having to be a part of a team, and the civic responsibility of just, like, we have to we can't be, you know, even as we radically self-express and even as we are immediate and practice immediacy, we still, for this whole thing to work, we have to be a part of a team and a communal effort and have the civic responsibility to wear our mask, to stay physically isolated, to, you know, not hoard and things like that. Participation, it kind of similar way, you know, like this art project, this performance of flattening the curve and avoiding massive or unnecessary death is one that requires participation. If you can't decide that you don't want to be a part of this, it requires that we all do this together. Leaving no trace, I've been struggling with how that is being expressed now, but I guess, you know, as we wear a mask and we avoid putting our particles into the world, And our droplets? That's kind of leaving no trace. Actually, I would love to hear other people's feedback on, and maybe I think what would be fun is to have an ongoing conversation, maybe, you know, focusing on one principle at a time over the next 10 weeks or so, and talk about how we can practice these things and how we see them in the world. Decommodification is, you know, we've seen the good and the bad. We've seen people price gouging and really, you know, commodifying things in a poisonous and dangerous way. And we've also seen people creating masks and giving in ways that is absolutely not connected to the value or the worth of something, but acting from a place of what the action is not governed by any sort of transactional relationship. Merely their you know attempts to participate in gifting. Did I get them all? Radical inclusion, gifting, decommodification, radical self-reliance. Radical self-reliance, that's the key. I mean, how many services do we now got to figure out our own? How many people got to figure out how to cut your own hair and cook and all sorts of stuff we have to figure out how to do ourselves right now? What a beautiful opportunity for us to become more self-reliant. And radical self-expression is one that I hope that we start to express more of. As the default world rules become less relevant, I hope that we start to shed more and more of the default world pressures. In the same way that generosity is more acceptable now. And I hope that radical self-expression becomes more acceptable. I'm seeing signs all over my neighborhood, which is a combination of a lot of these things too, of communal effort and participation and radical self-expression. Beck and I were painting some signs to put on in our windows. And I have been hesitant to embrace on it, but I think it's time for me to dye my hair pink again. Why not? Or shave something on the side of my head. Probably backwards because I'd be using a mirror. But as we settle into this state, I think radical self-expression will be hopefully a place that we can encourage one another in ways that raises the bar of what's acceptable. The weird factor should be going up. The world is weird. We should be weirder. I think that's all of them. Communal effort, civic responsibility, leaving no trace, participation, immediacy. If there's ever been a time for the principles to be tested, it is now. And if there's ever been a time for us to lean in and stretch into our responsibility, it's now. I feel like if you have been exposed to the 10 principles, if you've been exposed to Black Rock City or regional and the Burning Man culture, it is a very rare gift to have had the resources, the abundance, the opportunity to see that possibility in your community and in yourself. And too often, we only express it at our depth when we are in the safety of the event itself. We're like desert frogs that it's raining, okay, Burning Man's happening, and then we come out of our burrows and we mate and we dance, and then, oh, the rains are gone, the event is over, we go back underground and play the desert dry role of the default world. And we don't have that luxury right now, and I think we need to really recognize that we have a responsibility and we have a purpose in being the ones that are pushing the participation, pushing the radical self-expression, pushing the gifting and helping to role model new ways of community interaction in the default world. We have a global circumstance. We have a global hardship. In the same way that the Burning Man Black Rock Desert creates this universal hardship that makes us, you know, battle bonded. We have that now. And we should recognize that we have a intimacy and a vulnerability and an opportunity. So let's lean into our training and let's be our burner best or our personal best or our people best. You don't have to be a person that has gone to a Burning Man event to recognize that we have a different weird world and we can shed the limitations and the expectations that were pushing us to be people that we're not. People who are not trusting and closed off. So even in physical isolation, we can connect in deep and powerful ways. I'm making t-shirts that say, physically distant, emotionally connected, something like that. I gotta double check. Maybe I should check the spelling too before I get it printed. I want to make sure that we all are taking these opportunities and letting ourselves grieve and letting ourselves feel whatever we want to feel, and also recognizing that there is an opportunity to step up when we can, when we have the strength, and be brilliant and bright, as well as reach out our attention. I was going to say our hand, but you know, our metaphorical hand to people that might not be doing so well. Because sometimes we're going to need those hands. And the more that we recognize that we are a community on many levels, the more beauty and growth and transformation can happen. We've been to transformational festivals. Now we're going through a transformational global event, and I'm so honored to be going through it with you. I should say that if you only watch these on YouTube, you might not know that every time I do a broadcast, we also do a live group hug, a group hug of intention that I've been doing this for almost 20 years, and they have become very powerful and very strong in the context where what was once a kind of gimmicky idea is now a therapeutic way of connecting. So I invite you, if you're listening to this live or you're watching this on archive or listening to it on as a podcast, to follow along with me and connect with all those that are experiencing this connection. So wherever you are, grab yourself by the shoulders. And imagine me, and imagine all the people that you've seen in Zoom calls, all the people that you've talked to, all the people that you've encountered over the last week. And as you squeeze, imagine that torso that you are squeezing is not yours, but mine, but theirs, but all these beautiful people. And as you feel those arms, those aren't yours, those are mine. Those are all the people. And in this imagination place, in this intentional place, we can be joined and we can feel connected. And we can remind each other that these connections are strengthened by physical bonds and physical hugs, but they're not defined by that. We can be profoundly connected to people that we rarely, if ever, see. We can be profoundly connected to people who are not even in this plane of existence anymore. And so we certainly, through intention, can join together, feel this hug, feel what it is to be not alone, to be united, to be open-hearted, to be powerful, to be self-expressive, to be a brilliant, bright human light, and connected to all the other brilliant, bright human light. So just in that space of connection, let's take three breaths together, in through the nose and then out through the mouth as a single organism. Ready? In. on behalf of Grandpa Caleb, Larry Harvey, and all you love warriors, happy Hug Nation. I love you. And I invite you to join me and the Hug Nation community every day while this is happening at noon and 6 p.m. Pacific time for sharing of gratitude and a hug connection, some whimsy, some love. I love you.